Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Hallucinate to segregate, mediate, alleviate, try not to hate. Love your mate, don't suffocate on your hate. Designate your lover's fate. One world state as human freight. The number eight, a white black state.
Good morning, 8:10 here on News Radio 93.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Technology is awesome until it's not. And, oh, we do have her. Oh, you guys are so good. We you know, working remote and trying to connect interviews is just being, sometimes it works great and sometimes it's not. But we do have Jewel Canada Wynn, our former city councilwoman, former teacher, an elector for the Democrat Party in Escambia County, who is also here in Chicago, but obviously not in the room with me right now. Hey, Jewel, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Hi. I am in the stairwell. That is the only quiet spot this morning.
We're at our table in the Airbnb and you're in the stairwell. I love it. That's fantastic. So, hey, let's just start with this. You know, obviously, I'm a conservative Republican, so I'm watching the DNC as an outsider a little bit. What's it been like for you as a member, as an elector, as an insider?
Oh, it has been wonderful. It has been electric. You know, this is my first time here. So to be around, you know, 5,000 or more Democrats is wonderful. It feels great.
Well, I wanted to, you know, we'll talk about some of the speeches and that stuff in a second, but one of the things that we don't have the ability to go to is all of the Demapalooza training and information sessions that are going on, I think, at McCormick Center. Have you had a chance to go to any of those? They actually look very interesting to me, just as a, you know,
they
instructional kind
interested.
Of concept.
I went to the Democratic Black Caucus one, which focused on get out the vote and, of course, misinformation. So that was an excellent one. I'm going to try to go to a couple of today so that the disability one, that got one of them women, so I'm going to try to make that one. But it is exhausted. I mean, you have to be downstairs at 6:30 to pick up your credentials. You don't get to bed until 1 o'clock. So this is boot camp.
Yeah, and that's honestly what we've been talking about is, you know, look, I have loads of criticism for what's being said from the podium, from the stage. But one of the things I really admire about the way the DNC is organized is there is a deliberate effort to rally and pep talk at the night sessions and educate and train and equip people that when they go back to their communities, they can be effective at getting out the vote and persuading people in the day sessions, right?
Yes, and that's exactly what has happened. It has been very informative. And not only that, during breakfast, we have training sessions and speakers there at the breakfast as well. So it is nonstop.
Long schedule. One thing we had a chance to do a little bit at the RNC in Milwaukee, and we just have not, it's just we haven't done it here, is to go to the night events. Our perception of Milwaukee at the RNC was it was a lot of partying, a lot of drinking, a lot of having fun, a lot of, you know, it's like a cruise. Has it been like that at night? Have you had that same kind of atmosphere fun-wise?
No. We have after parties.
Yeah.
We have after parties, but I'm too old for that. By the time I get home at 11:30, get here at 11:30, shower and everything, it's 1 o'clock. I can't be up at 2 o'clock talking about partying and having a little nip, and then got to get up by 6:30 in the morning. No.
Do some of your fellow delegates who are, let's just say, younger on the activity schedule, do they seem a little bit worse for wear early in the morning?
Well, yes, they do, because it's a party, but I have found that most of the group with us, we're in the Palmer House, and so our Florida delegation, we are really focused. We're really tuned in to getting as much knowledge as we possibly can get to go and take it back home to help with the get the vote.
Yeah, very business. I appreciate that. Are they, I just know our experience at in Milwaukee was that not just the partying and the drink, but the food was amazing for the delegates. Have you guys been fed well?
Oh, we've been fed well. The National Democratic Party, the Democratic National Convention, all of them, the Florida Democratic Party, have really been excellent. We have had excellent service from them, excellent welcome, and continues throughout the event.
So I want to talk to you a little bit about the speakers and, of course, the nominee. I cannot remember whether when we had you on the wrap recently, whether it had already been announced that Biden was going to withdraw and Kamala Harris was going to be the nominee. So I wanted to give you a chance to talk about how you reacted to that news originally when it came out.
Originally, I cried. I understood it. I knew that I would accept it. I knew that it had to be the choice of President Biden and whether or not he wanted to step down. I love President Biden. He has been a very good transitional president. But yet the baton was passed, and I'm excited about that baton passing, and I am ready to go. And my group, we are ecstatic, and we're ready to continue to work hard for the last 77 days or 78 days, whichever one it is.
So for you, it was really hard news. Was it? I've talked to other people who, they were really relieved because they were worried that President Trump was going to win. Even Michelle Obama seemed very much to have this sort of resurrection mindset that the hopes of the party in November had come back to life and she had hope again with Kamala Harris. Do you feel that way or do you feel a different way?
No, I feel that way now. I really do. President Biden, there were issues. I love President Biden, but we had to energize because we can't go back to Donald. We cannot go back to Donald Trump. So we had to energize, and we had to be re-energized. And that decision, the courageous decision alone, when you look at a politician, regardless of what party they are from or support, that decision is a hard decision for any candidate to know when it's time to go. And if we had that type of mentality, that President Biden, that type of courage in Congress now, we would probably have a better working bipartisan Congress so that we can focus more on issues of the American people instead of partisanship politics.
You know, it's interesting you say that because there's a lot of Republicans who are also frustrated about people who stay and stay and stay and stay and for 30 and 40 years in Congress and should really long ago have left and let some younger folks take over and build a different kind of dynamic in Washington, D.C. Jewel, obviously, I'm a Republican, I'm a conservative, I'm watching this somewhat as an outsider, but one of the things that that I have noticed is when I watch, for example, the Obamas, Barack Obama did well. His problem was that he came after his wife, who was the absolute best speech in both conventions so far, from my opinion. And then even yesterday when Oprah Winfrey spoke, I thought she did an incredibly effective job of doing what she's supposed to do. But I was thinking the whole time, look, if Michelle Obama ran for president, she would get elected 70-30. Is there any sense among you or your fellow delegates of, wish you could have, or wish, she would have been somebody that could have run?
Oh, no, never, because she has always made that clear, never. But I just want to go back to President Obama and First Lady Michelle Obama. So we have to remember what the assignment was for those two. And so she came out, and I knew when she came out with her ponytail and her sister look on her face, I knew what her assignment was. Her assignment was to talk to the voter, to talk to women, to talk to us, to motivate us toward getting out, not giving up on our issues, and kind of motivating us so that we can continue. It looks good at the convention. It looks good for the yelling and screaming, but there's more work to do. And so you have to remember the assignment was not the same for those two. I mean, she had an excellent quote. I loved it when she says, who's going to tell him that the job he's currently seeking might just be one of those black jobs? Mm-hmm. So she was an excellent speaker, but we needed to know that those two had a different assignment. She had an assignment to do, and President Obama had an assignment to do.
You said it kind of in passing, and I'm going to be super white here for just a second. You said she had on her sister look. What does that mean?
Yes, she had on her sister look. For African-American women, we know that if we give you the look, it's just like moms. Kids know when their parent gives them a look, it's time for them to to correct us, to send us in a direction that we need to go. And so she's going to send us in a direction, like, let's do something. Let's do something. Just not talk about it. Just not wait for someone else to call you and tell you they need help or anything. You need to get up and get out there and start working towards the success of the Kamala Harris campaign.
Hey, last question for you, Jewel. By the way, thank you so much for the time this morning. I appreciate it. We have noticed that there is an intense focus on President Trump, a very strong criticism of him, portraying him as, you know, dark, dangerous, weird, all of the negative things. It seems to me like there's a contradiction between the calls for unity and building the bridges and coming together as a country with the simultaneous message of that guy's evil, horrible, terrible, and awful. Do you feel like there's a tension in those messages, or do you feel like the way it's being talked about is appropriate?
I think it's been appropriate. When anyone continuously, when they open their mouth and everything is always negative, when they open their mouth about America, the United States, that I spent 20 years as a veteran, standing up for my country and working for my country, going to talk about we are not the greatest nation in the world. We on our laughing stocks in the world. We don't have any of that. So, no, I don't think it's inappropriate at all. We need to call it out for what it is. And people tend to rationalize behavior. Oh, it's okay. It's just Donald Trump, and that's how he's going to do. When he attacks you on a negative level, you can be professional and call him out for inappropriate things that does not represent presidential behavior.
Hey, I did say last one, but I did have one other. I apologize. I sort of lied to you there or changed my mind. The other thing we've noticed a lot of is the attacking of Project 2025, the Heritage Foundation thing. And what I keep saying is President Trump has repudiated that. He does not believe that. He doesn't stand for that. That's not his policy, and it's not the platform of the Republican Party. But clearly the leaders in the DNC have decided that the strategy is to portray him as being that thing. What's your belief? Do you believe that President Trump is not Project 2025, or do you believe that he, like, secretly is, and this is all some lie or a charade by him?
He continues to lie. You can only go by a person by what they say. You go by what they do. You go by what they say. President Trump continues to lie. You cannot trust a liar. When you go and pick a J.B. Vance as your vice presidential pick, who supports those concepts as well, you can't detach that from your throne and your side just suddenly because it's not politically correct for you. You've already got in bed with it. You already know, open the book for it. And so now we're going to call you out for this behavior. We don't have a president that tells the truth. We have a president, a former president, that lies, that continues to lie, that continues to do misinformation, including the Republican Party. They support lies. They twist everything. And so, again, you're asking the American people, oh, this is really not, you know, he's telling us the truth. He's not, no. We go about 4 years. He's been running for this office, you know, for his 4 years, 8 years, the entire time. He has lied. We have proof that he lied. We tried to correct this misinformation that he puts out, but once you put out the misinformation, it's like a battle to get rid of it. So I believe that he accepts Project 2025. It is not politically correct for him to say he's a part of 2025 because he wants to win the office, and when he gets in office, then he will implement 2025. We already
have
some of that in Florida.
Well, you and I completely disagree about that assessment, but that's why I wanted to ask you, because I was kind of curious where you're at. Jewel Canada Wynn, she is a former city councilwoman, former teacher, and a Escambia County delegate for the Democrat Party. Jewel, thank you so much for the time. Thanks for sharing your honest views.
I
know you are.
Thank you always for reaching out. You know, you have a
Absolutely.
Wonderful day, and have a wonderful day, Pensacola.
All right. Thanks. We'll talk to you again soon.